back to another episode of the Broken Clock Podcast Gamescast. Once again, my name is Adam.
And I'm Joe.
And we are guaranteed to be right at least twice a day, because that is the motto of the Broken Clock Podcast. Joe, welcome.
You're still sticking with the change, and it's still throwing me off a little bit.
Yeah, you got to get used to it. Yeah. See, if you listened to last week's episode, you know I changed it up a bit, which, Joe, you did not listen. You never listen. Ever.
I was listening when you did it.
Yeah, and it threw you off, and you stopped listening immediately and just stared at me because you didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Welcome to the sick cast, everybody.
I know. I'm not sick. I just, you know, I'm a little stuffy, so I'll probably sound a little bit stuffy. Joe, maybe
same,
sick,
same
a little stuffy.
Here.
Yeah. I mean, it's winter. We had snow this week, which sucks.
God, I can't stay in the snow anymore.
I know. It's
especially
awful.
Considering my job makes me get up at like 6 o'clock in the morning to go and shovel all the snow for a couple hours.
Yeah, you had to do that last week, and then it snowed again just the other day. And
luckily, it wasn't a lot of snow, so I didn't have to do anything about that.
It was not, but you know, here we are. It's cold and snowy, and we get the sniffles, so you may hear that. It'll sound a little bit different. Who knows? Maybe more like grizzly and manly. Mm,
yeah.
Welcome, everybody, to Broken Clock Podcast. But Joe, we're living in a post-Star Wars world. I've seen it.
I have not.
You have not. But no. You've had it spoiled for you online.
Yeah. I'm not the kind of person who really cares that much about spoilers. I'll admit that like sometimes when I'm watching a movie, like I'll have the Wikipedia article and I'll just be like, well, I wonder what's going to happen. I'll just like skip ahead to see. Spoilers don't bother me at all.
It's so weird.
I know.
Do they bother you in games?
Yeah, you know what? Games bother me a little bit more than movies, because maybe you're putting a lot more time into...
Well, yeah, and it's you're like
same with books. Like, I don't like books spoiled for me.
Weird, because books are like movies, but you're reading them.
Yeah, but like you're putting a lot more time. It takes a lot more effort to read a book than to watch a movie.
That's true.
Same with a video game. You got to put a lot more effort into it than just to watch a movie. But yeah, movie spoilers never really bothered me. But I did get Star Wars spoiled to me because there was a leak of stuff that happened.
You're not
going to
spoil them right now.
I'm not going to spoil them right now.
Okay, good.
No. A couple days before the movie came out, there was a leak that came out that was... the reason I was interested is everybody was basically saying, this shit's way too ridiculous to be real, so we don't know if this is a legit leak or not. And then it turned out it was all real. So I was kind of like, oh, okay. Interesting. But yeah, I mean, it didn't really bother me that much.
Well, it's very polarizing. Some people think it's fantastic. I am one of those people. I loved it. And
yeah,
some people
think
it's like the worst movie in the history of movies, not even just in Star Wars movies, like movies. They're like, this is, one of my friends called it an abomination. And I was like, I don't see how that's even.
I noticed that too. Well, like obviously because what was the like the Rotten Tomatoes score was like 54% or something like that.
Yeah, the critic score is it's at like a 93, and then the audience score is like a 58.
Yeah, and it was the same. There's I watch a bunch of you know various YouTubers that do movie reviews.
Yeah.
And I noticed that exact same thing because like some of them were like not like this is the worst thing ever, but there were a lot of people that were just like, I didn't like it. Like, it wasn't that great. And then there were others that were, you know, same. They were saying, oh my God, it was fantastic. This might be the best, you know, Star Wars since the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Which, that's not that hard to achieve.
Well, I mean, it kind of is considering there's, you know, there's three original trilogy movies and everyone says Empire's the best. And then since then, there's been six other movies. So to say this is the best of them attempting to make six more.
Like... Well, I wasn't a big fan of Force Awakens.
Did you look up the ending before you got to it? Like, were you reading along with Wikipedia when you watched it? Because that could have an impact.
No, that one I went and saw it in theaters.
Oh, okay.
I'm one of the people that actually liked the new trilogy a lot.
The prequels?
The prequel trilogy. I know it's easy to shit on them, but...
Yeah, they have a lot of problems.
Yeah, and I'm not going to try and defend them as, like, great movies, but...
There's fun stuff in them.
For me, I like those ones because I care more about the Jedis than the entirety of the universe as a whole.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean,
so that one
supposed
had,
to.
Well, that one had tons of Jedis in it doing like crazy Jedi stuff. And I know it's very different from what, you know, the kind of stuff that they did in the original trilogy and even in this one because no one's nearly as powerful as Yoda doing triple axel backflips all over the place, you know, spinning like a top. But I always had more fun watching the Jedi fights. That's what made the original or the prequel trilogies fun to me.
yeah, those were the best parts of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's all the other stuff that drags it down.
Yeah, yeah. So, I never, like, hated the original trilogies. Yeah. I wasn't a big fan of Force Awakens just because I'm one of those people that watched it going, this is just a rehash. And it, like, every time something came up that I was like, we're doing this again kind of thing.
I don't think there was that many we're doing this again.
It's just, we were like, okay, we're on the, like... We're on the desert planet. Then we're on the jungle planet. Then we're at the bar. Then there's another Death Star.
The other Death Star is the big one to me.
Like, yeah,
we didn't need another Death Star. Come up with something else.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm gonna see this movie. I'm not like, you know, all the reviews say it's terrible, so I don't want to see it.
Yeah, don't let that sway anybody who hasn't seen it. Like, just because maybe all your friends hate it, or you're seeing that it's very polarizing, or that some people really hate it, like, go see it, because it's different things to different people. So some people are going to really enjoy it, and some people are going to hate it. I mean, that's the nature of every movie.
This is one of the things I was worried about with this, like, since Disney took over the Star Wars universe, and we were going to be getting a new one, like, every year. I was... thinking, like, this is going to be the point where they become very polarizing, because
you got to do something different. You got to shake it up a little bit.
Well, yeah, but Star Wars was the kind of thing where you didn't get a lot of it, so you were always excited when you got something new.
Yeah, I mean,
but now that you're going to get a new Star Wars movie every year, people are going to start getting jaded, and this is the point where you're going to see a lot of the, like, you're either a diehard Star Wars fan, or you're just somebody who's looking to shit on it just to shit on it.
Yeah. Well, the thing that's different now is that even though you're getting a Star Wars movie every year, at least, like, the episode, like, the story and episodic ones are every other year. So it's still like it was when the prequels came out, where it was every other year you were getting the next chapter in this story. And then you get these filler ones. And, like, the filler ones, the range will, you know, vary greatly depending on, you know, what you think of the stories and how they're executed. But I don't know. I'm still enjoying it, so I haven't reached burnout level. But I really, really love Star Wars, so I don't think that it's ever a point where I'll, like, get sick of seeing new Star Wars stuff.
Yeah. So, but I'm just... that's what I said. Like, you're either going to be a big fan, or you're going to be somebody that's just going to be nothing but jaded. And they're just like, oh, another Star Wars movie. Yeah, exactly. And you got people doing that with the Marvel stuff now. You know, they're just like... ugh, like, do we really need another Captain America movie?
Oh, I hate having steak and lobster for dinner every night. It's so awful. Like, it's spoils of riches. But this is not our movies podcast. I just felt like saying we're living in a post-Star Wars world, and we could talk about it a little bit because it's very gaming related. But this is our gaming podcast, where we start every week with what we've been playing. So, Joe, what have you been playing?
I have been playing a whole lot, actually. I think you said last week a similar thing, where you're just trying to hammer through and get a whole bunch of stuff finished and caught up on a bunch of stuff.
I did say that, and then proceeded to play nothing this week. It was Star Wars time, and I was busy beforehand, so I didn't get a chance to play a lot of things, and then I was just trying to watch all the Star Wars movies to get ready for. And, like, Thursday and Friday, I saw Star Wars, so I've seen it twice, so gaming fell by the wayside this week. But yes, that is what I'm trying to do. And then this week coming up will be when I finish powering through stuff to get ready for our game of the year discussions next week. So a little tease for that.
Yeah. First main thing, I went back to finish up the DLC for Resident Evil 7, because two big DLCs came out since last time I played it.
I think one just came out, like, this week, right?
Yes, one of them just came out. Actually, I wasn't even aware of the other one at the time. I, like, loaded it up and... I went to the, you know, like, download extraneous stuff that I haven't downloaded yet, and there were two storyline DLC things, and then I don't remember what this what was it called? I think it was called End of Zoe, was the DLC.
Yep.
Yes, End of Zoe. And it looks like they were basically just going through and, like, tying up a lot of loose ends that they didn't really touch on in the in the main game.
Yeah.
And the first one was the End of Zoe DLC, which I really, really enjoyed. In it, you play as the uncle of the Baker family, the brother of the father.
Yeah.
Which he was never talked about in the game at all. He's just, like, because, you know, the game takes place in, like, the Louisiana swampland. He's just a dude that, like, he's just a swamp dude. Like, just, you know, has a shack out in the swamp and just hangs out doing his own thing.
Uncle Swamp Dude.
Yeah, and he goes to check on the family to find out what's going on, and this takes place after the game, and he stumbles upon, you know, Umbrella setting up all of their lab equipment and stuff like that, and they're covering, you know, the house and going through everything, and you find Zoe, the daughter, his niece, last you saw her in the game, you just kind of like left her, the main guy of the game just kind of like left her behind, and you never really touch on her again. So you find her, she's infected, and you don't know what's going on, so you try and find a cure to help her. I found this one really interesting because it kind of changed up the formula a little bit. There's no firearms in the game and no sound off on my phone.
Yeah.
There's no, you don't use any firearms or anything. The guy is just running through, beating the shit out of all the zombies and monsters with his bare hands.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Bare knuckle brawling some zombies.
Yeah. And it's the kind of thing where you're like, man, like this guy makes everybody else look like a huge chump because he's just like ripping zombies' heads off with his bare hand and like throwing haymakers and uppercuts. And the combat I thought worked out really well.
The hand-to-hand stuff?
Yeah, the hand-to-hand stuff looked, it worked out really well. And the, I mean, the general, like the whole design of everything, including like all the new areas that you went to, were all really interesting. So I found that DLC to be really, really good, which was a surprise. Cause like I said, I didn't even know that it was a DLC that came out for it.
Yeah.
Afterwards,
pleasantly surprised.
Yeah. And then after that, I obviously loaded up the Not a Hero DLC, which was the big one that everybody was looking forward to because you get to play as Chris from the original series.
Yep.
I was not a very big fan of that one. I didn't think that one was very fun at all.
Now, normally, do you like Chris?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure that it's not like, oh, that's a character I hate, and that impacts
how
much you like it now.
No, no. this one I found pretty disappointing for a couple of reasons. One of them is the fun of the first, like the main Resident Evil 7, the main game, is... because it's all, you know, a new thing also, but you're playing a regular dude.
Yeah.
And you're like a dude who doesn't know what's going on. He's constantly going like, what the fuck is going on? And
yeah, he's afraid, so you're afraid.
Yeah, he's afraid. Yeah. He's not, you know, entirely all that skilled. You're learning everything as he's learning. And this one, you're playing as Chris, and he's already starts off the game like loaded to the teeth with a ton of guns.
Yeah, he's battle hardened.
Yeah, and he's all like a huge badass. And you're like, it kind of takes even with the other one in the end of Zoe DLC, like your guy doesn't know what's happening.
Yeah.
And even though you're running around, you know, ripping things' heads off like a badass, you're still kind of figuring it out.
Yeah.
And this one, all of a sudden, you're just like running around like an unstoppable juggernaut with like this crazy shotgun with tons of ammo all over the place. You get just, you know, blasting everything, and it felt way too easy.
Yeah.
And then the other problem I had with it was the setting, which it takes place inside of a mine, and it repeats so many locations. It's just, you're just running down tunnels, like tunnel after tunnel after tunnel after
tunnel.
And
what is there to really differentiate a tunnel from another tunnel?
And I swear, even at some points, like, they just completely reuse the same tunnels. Like,
well, that's what happens when you're caught in a tunnel system. Sometimes you circle back, you're like, I've been here before.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. But yeah. I definitely was like, I could have sworn I went down this, like, even, you know, not just the tunnel was the same, like, the boxes on the ground and like the things hanging on the wall and all that were the exact same.
Yeah.
And I'm just...
That's more tolerable in older games because you're like, all right, they only have so many assets they can reuse, but like, it's 2017. Get your shit together.
Yeah, I should not be doing this. And it's like the setting, and I didn't really like how I felt like, you know, too tough with Chris. The story was really interesting though, I gotta say. Although it feels a really like Deus Ex Machina, where it introduces something in the game. I don't want to spoil it because it just came out, but it introduces a plot point where I was like, okay, this should have been something that was touched upon in the main game. Yeah. Like, how is this happening and nobody mentioned any of this at all in the main game?
They didn't know what was going on.
Should have been very, very...
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. So.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but if anyone that plays it, they're probably thinking the exact same thing, where it's like, really, this... No one had any point where they mentioned this correlation between the two plot lines.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe there's another DLC or it's a setup for Resident Evil 8 or something.
Yes, maybe.
What else did you play?
The big new thing was PUBG on the Xbox.
Xbox One X, the world's most powerful console.
Mm-hmm.
And how is it? I've heard mixed things. I hear that, like, yeah, it's still PUBG. It's still fun. It's still PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, but it's kind of janky.
Yeah, there's a lot of jank, but I was expecting that. you know, I wasn't looking at this going like, this is going to be completely polished right off the bat on this new system.
I mean, it's technically still early access, even on Xbox.
Yeah, still technically early access on the PC as
well. Yeah, but it's not like this is the real release and the PC one's still, you know, early accessing behind. Like,
yeah, but I mean, even this, you beta, know, it's also, you know, a console port. And even like fully, fully polished games on PC, when they get a console port, usually for the first couple of weeks, they're, you know, you run into a lot of problems with them until they, you know, manage to patch everything.
Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be like that on the world's most powerful console, Joe.
True. But I didn't go in expecting it to be completely 100% polished.
But it's the game of the year. You should win all the game of the year things because it's the best game of the year.
Maybe on PC it is.
It's not. It's the same thing.
Yeah. But it's still really fucking fun.
Yeah.
You know, especially once you have other people. You know, I played a little bit by myself. I played a little bit with my friend John. I played a lot with my friend John. And it's... You know, obviously they're going to be adding more stuff as time goes by, but even at this point, we had a blast. Like, it was the kind of thing where we kept going, like, one more game, one more game, one more game.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time we would do a little bit better, a little bit worse, we actually did really good on
our... Are you playing as a team?
Yes.
Okay.
You can do a solo, duo, and squad, which is four people.
Yeah.
We were playing just the duo. And on our second game, we made it to the very last two.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
So it was you and one other duo?
Yes. Oh, well, I don't know. I don't think the other one was another duo. I think it was two remaining dudes of their party.
Oh, okay.
Because they didn't seem like they were working together in any way, shape, or form.
Got it.
Because you can, one person in your team can die, but they can still go on to finish out the game.
Yeah.
Goddamn, it was so goddamn frustrating.
Yeah, I bet.
At the very end, so this was our very second game playing. And we get all the way to the end where the last one's alive.
And both of you made it?
Yes. It was the two of us and two other people. One guy was in a Jeep that was just driving around on the outside, like trying to draw people out and run them over. And I dropped my phone.
Yes, you did. You dropped your phone. It's noise number two. That's strike two.
I know. I'm not having...
Next one, you're off the podcast.
Damn it. So we're running around, and finally, you know, the safe zone shrinks until the point where it's basically centered on this like abandoned warehouse.
Yeah.
And we're inside of it, and there was one dude that was driving around outside with a Jeep, and we don't really know what happened to him. And then me and John go inside the warehouse. There's the one other person, we're going up to the top of the walkways. Cause we're just like, we're going to get the high ground. As John's running up the stairs, I see the other person start shooting at him. So I run to the side and I'm like snaking my way over there. I'm like, I'm going to get the jump on this guy. I'm going to fuck him up good. This is going to be great. I get behind a thing. He's basically on the other side of a wall for me, and there's an opening out there. And I'm like getting ready to jump out. I got my shotgun ready.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, controller dies.
Oh, no.
Yep. My controller fucking dies. I'm like, oh, no. God damn it. I get up. I like run. I grab the cable. I plug my controller in. I'm getting it all ready. I'm like sitting there as I'm watching the death zone like encroach on my guy. Finally, my controller starts up again, but just as the death zone like goes past me and my life just goes dead, I drop down. I'm like, son of a bitch.
Oh, no. You blew it for your team.
Yep. At this point, I think the guy that was driving around outside got screwed and he couldn't get inside fast enough and he died. So now it was just John and the one other dude alive.
Yeah, but the other guy's been shooting at John the whole time.
Yes, but he wasn't hitting John.
Oh, okay. That's good.
As far as I know. So it comes to that, and the death zone keeps getting smaller and smaller, and it gets to the point where John is cornered behind in a corner of a wall, and he can't go anywhere else, because if he does, if he wants to get out, he has to run through the death zone to get out.
Yeah.
And the other guy's on the other side of the wall where it's safe. So he ends up getting killed just because he had nowhere else to go. And the other guy ended up surviving in the end.
Oh, bummer. Well, yeah. You blew it for your team. Way to go.
Yeah.
You could have won.
I was so mad.
You failed.
I can't express how mad I was. Because normally the thing pops up saying, like, you know, your battery's about to die.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe they didn't program that into the game.
Maybe. Who knows? Or you weren't paying attention.
Maybe that's what it was. But
you having fun with it?
But yeah, I mean, afterwards we went, we played, you know, a couple more times over the course of the next couple of days. We had fun every single time.
Nice.
You know, I was worried that it was going to get old quickly because it's still just the one map.
Yeah.
But it's big enough and varied enough that, you know, and the way that it's set up, it, it kind of encourages you to check out a whole bunch of different places.
Yeah.
That still really enjoying it. I can't wait for them to update it more. But yeah, I'm having a blast.
Nice. Anything else you play this week?
I also played A Hat in Time.
What is that?
Hat in Time was a Kickstarter game that came out a couple months ago. Okay. On the PC. I think it came out last month on consoles. It's essentially kind of a spiritual successor to Mario 64.
Oh, okay.
Which is like you play as Hat Kid, who's this little girl, and she has a top hat. And she's driving around on a spaceship. And one day while she's driving around going past a planet, she looks out the window and there's this mafia guy standing outside the spaceship knocking on the window saying, "Hey, let me inside." And she says no, and he busts open the window and all of the power cords that run her ship get sucked out into space land on the planet.
Yeah.
And she has to go and collect the power cords to power her ship again.
Sounds an awful lot like Mario Odyssey.
Yeah, it does sound very familiar, doesn't it?
It sure does. But, I mean, if this was a Kickstarter game, it would have come out before.
Yes. Like... Yeah, it actually came out before Mario Odyssey came out. It's definitely inspired by Mario. There are a lot of, you know, different aspects to it, like how, you don't jump on the enemies. She has, you know, various weapons that she runs around swinging.
She throws her hat at them.
No, she does not throw her hat at him. Yeah. It's very hat-focused, but you don't use the hat as a weapon. The hats are, the different hats you get have different abilities that you can do.
Oh, so it's kind of like Pikmin?
Yeah, kind of. Like, you can get, like, a visor with wings on it that let you do a dash run.
Okay.
And, you collect balls of yarn that you use to make new hats.
Yeah.
It's very funny. It's very, the controls are very tight. It definitely has it's more, like I said, it's more Mario 64 than it is Mario Odyssey.
Yeah.
In the sense where you, when you go to the world, you pick, like, a different scenario that you're going to. You remember in Mario, like, when you would jump through the paintings.
Yeah.
It would be like, you know, get the star at the top of the, it would let you pick which, mission you want to do. Yeah, so it would be like, win the race against the penguin.
Yeah.
Climb to the top of the thing and beat the Ba-Bomb guy.
Yeah.
Find the 8 stars.
Yeah.
Or the 8 gold or red coins or whatever it was.
Yeah.
As opposed to Mario Odyssey, which is you just go on and it's kind of free roam, just do whatever you want.
Do your thing.
Graphically it's a little janky. It was a Kickstarter game by a small studio.
Yeah.
So it's the kind of thing where, you know, the animations look really kind of goofy at times, and like the characters' mouths don't move when they talk, and it's kind of really like flat animation to it.
Yeah,
but it plays really good. The controls are really good. It definitely does have that Mario feel, even though it changes up a lot of stuff. The humor is very funny.
That's good.
I think the voice acting is pretty good, just like in the corniness of it.
Yeah,
you know, the first planet you go to is the mafia planet, which is why the mafia guy was out there, and all of the guys talk in like a third person kind of way on which they just refer to themselves as mafia.
Yeah.
Like they say, "Hey mafia, what are you doing?" And then they're, you know, it sounds really corny, but it's pretty funny.
But it works.
Yeah. Like when you're playing it, especially with the, you know, the character designs.
Yeah.
But it's really good. I didn't play too much of it. It was more of a thing where I went like, "Oh, I didn't know this came out for consoles. Yeah, I heard really good things about it. Let me give it a try." I feel like if I had played this when it initially came out before Mario Odyssey, I would like it a lot more.
But
I'm playing, which is essentially a knockoff to a game that's
fantastic.
an already much better game that's come out recently. If it was a kind of thing where I was like, "Oh, I got a couple months until Mario Odyssey comes out. Let me play this to get myself psyched up for it." Yeah. I think I would enjoy it a lot more. Now, as I'm playing, I'm going like, "This is pretty good. Mario Odyssey's better."
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really tough time to release a hat-based platformer.
Yeah. I'd still recommend it if you enjoy those kind of games.
Was it like $20?
I think it was $30 when I bought it.
Okay.
I don't know if it was on sale at the time. But yeah, I mean, if you like platformers, it's a very, very fun platformer. Like, I think it was better than some of the other ones that came out recently, like Yooka-Laylee and stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would recommend it. I think it's very fun. Nice. I think, you know, if you've played Mario Odyssey already, you might want to just like wait a while until you get that out of your system and you're like, oh, I want to play a platformer now. Like, now's a good time to play a Hat in Time.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not going to say the game is terrible in any way, shape, or form. I'm having fun with it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Was that it for the week?
Let me just double check. I wrote down some stuff.
You sure played a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I sure did. Hat in Time, Resident Evil. I did have my my 8-bit Do controller that I brought in to show Adam.
It is very nice. I like it. What is an 8-bit Do controller, Joe?
The 8-bit, well, 8-bit Do is the company, but they put out a wireless Super Nintendo controller for the Super Nintendo Classic, basically. It has a little dongle to plug into the Super Nintendo Classic.
Yeah.
It's shaped exactly like a Super Nintendo controller. There's a few little minor differences, like the positions of the start and select button are different on the official controller.
Yep.
They're like angled, like slanted, like they're like, what are those things? A hashtag, not a hashtag.
Forward slash, backslash.
A forward slash back. So they're saying angle like a forward slash, as opposed to these ones were just flat. But I didn't really want to play my SNES Classic at the time just because I hate dealing with cables.
Those cables are impossible.
Yeah, they're incredible. The ones that they come with are incredibly short, and I don't have enough space, you know, to either run the SNES Classic like halfway across my room.
Yeah, just to make it so that way you have the 5 feet to like have enough slack where you're not tugging at the. That's why I don't play mine enough, is because there's no comfortable place for me to sit where I wouldn't be like having the SNES Classic on the floor in the middle of the room, stretched completely from one end of the TV, and then the cord for the controller stretched completely as far as it'll go. Like, there's no comfortable way in which for me to play it. So the fact that they've come out with these are really good. If these controllers are good, Joe, are these controllers good?
Extremely good.
Nice.
Yeah, I felt no lag whatsoever while playing it. Everything was exactly precise to every button press, which is for a Super Nintendo, that is very, very important, because
everything's very timing based.
Yeah, you don't want to like have even the slightest bit of delay while playing Mario World.
No, or like a Mega Man or anything like that.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Need to have like almost no input lag.
Yeah, and also I'm at the point where I am just completely spoiled, and anything that has a cable is the worst thing in the world to me.
Yeah, unless you're right at the end of a game of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and then having a controller on a cable might not be so bad.
Yeah. Yeah, true. They put out two different versions of it. One of them is like the classic colors, the light blue and the purple buttons. There's also another one that has
both purple.
Are they?
Yeah, one's light purple, one's dark purple.
I don't see colors very
well. I know
well.
You don't. That's why I was like, I'm interested to see what colors Joe thinks these are.
Damn it. and they got another one that has like the colored buttons, the yellow, blue, red,
yeah, one
and
Super
green.
Nintendo, one Super Famicom.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I picked up both. They're only $25, so
yeah, relatively cheap.
Yeah, which a very good price for a wireless controller like that.
Most of the extension cables that I've seen that are for like the NES Classic or the SNES Classic are like $10 anyway. So like, I don't know, for an extra $15, I'd rather have it wireless.
Yeah,
it's not like I'm paying $40 for a wireless controller, like if it was a DualShock or something.
Yeah, the only major complaint I have about these that I don't like is that it's rechargeable batteries.
Yeah,
it doesn't have like double A's or anything in that. And it comes with a cable, just a standard, like same one you would use for your phone. If you have like an Android device.
Yep.
The only thing that sucks is that there's no way to plug it directly into the system in any way.
Yeah.
Like if the dongle had a USB port in it, so you could plug it in and just charge right off of that, that would be pretty good.
Can you play it while it's plugged in? Like if I was sitting next to a power strip, which I would be where I'd be playing, if I plug it in and like to the wall, can I still play it, or does it have to be unplugged to be played?
I don't know. I haven't tried that.
Because that would alleviate any concern that you would necessarily have for like it dying while you were playing.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't have any like power strips anywhere near my couch or anything.
Nice.
So, you know, if there was a way to just plug it in and play, like, directly into the dongle that it came with, or if there was, maybe, I don't know, there's no USB ports on the back of the SNES Classic, is there?
Well, there's one, but it's the power, like, it's where the power plug goes.
It's a USB plug?
Yeah, it's a mini, well, it's like a mini, like a micro USB.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm talking about, like, an actual USB plug. I don't think there is.
No, there isn't.
Yeah. So
it, I was thinking like, wait, how do you plug it into a computer? But it's because the micro S, the micro part, and like it outputs as a USB.
Outputs. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if there was a like a thing in the dongle to be able to actually like plug it in and use it, that would be nice. Yeah. There's also,
but it's a third party peripheral, so that's probably why like you wouldn't be able to draw power necessarily from the system.
That's true.
So.
And I don't even know if it's like wired to do that.
Yeah.
The other cool thing about it is I don't have one, but they have a an actual SNES, like a regular SNES plug attachment.
So that way you could play it with an SNES.
So you can, yeah, you can plug the dongle into that and then plug that into the controller port of the SNES and use this controller wirelessly on an actual SNES as opposed to using the SNES Classic.
That's pretty cool.
So I want to order one of those because I still have like a million SNES games that aren't on the SNES Classic.
Yeah.
That, you know, if I ever wanted to play any of those, it would be cool to be able to plug that in.
Nice. I did hear that there. This also has, if like a certain button configuration, that will get you back to the home screen, rather than hitting the reset button.
Is there?
That's what I. Yeah, I believe so. Because I saw a bunch of.
I was looking for that.
I think
not that in particular with this controller. I know that if you press the start, select, and the shoulder buttons at the same time, it takes you. It resets the game you're playing, but it doesn't take you back to the menu. The only thing I saw that said that is that if you use a the wired Wii controllers, like the white ones from the original Wii, that has a home button that you can press.
Yeah.
But I didn't see anything about the 8-bit Do controller being allowing you to do that. Because that's the one thing about the SNES Classic that I can't stand, that I have to actually get up and like reset it if I want to try and play a different game.
Yeah, let me see here. So... I guess these also have Bluetooth.
Yes.
So that's good if you have just like your own like retro console type thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm trying to look through. I forget what you already do. It's some button configuration where it's like if you press start, select my shoulder button, it brings you back to the home screen, I thought. Hold on, I'm trying to see. It's... And they just received the COVID. Oh, it's down and select brings you to the home screen.
Oh, really?
Yes. Shit, so press down and select brings you to the home screen. We'll try it afterwards. I can plug it into mine.
Nice.
Because I think mine's set up, although it might not be. I don't know.
I'd have to double check. Like it's very hard to set up.
Yeah. No, I did. Like, I was going to pick one of these up, but then, like, I was told to give a Christmas list. So I was like, all right, well, that'll go on there. And then worst case scenario, if I don't get it, I'll just buy one of these. Because I do want to play more of my SNES Classic. I just hate dealing with the fucking wires.
So. Yeah. I mean, if you have an SNES Classic, it's a real must-buy, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Unless you're in a small enough space where you haven't noticed the fact that you have a very limited cable length to deal with. But yeah, no, it does look like it is a much better option and one worth picking up.
And I'm sure it probably also works with the NES Classic.
Yeah, probably. I mean, the input is the same.
Like, yeah, that. same dongle.
Yeah. So, nice. Yeah, I didn't play a lot this week, as I stated. I did try out Fortnite's 50 versus 50 mode.
Oh, I played some of that also.
That they unveiled at the Game Awards. I don't like it as much.
No. It takes away a lot of the tension.
Well, that and, like, I was running around with, like, some teammates or whatever, and I got shot, and I died. But in the 50 versus 50 mode, you don't die. You just, like,
you get
collapse
downed
to the ground and crawl around, but you can't shoot, and you can't, like, do anything. You just have to hope someone comes by.
And rescues you.
Yeah, but there's no way to, like, at least as far as I could tell, to, like, alert your team to be like, hey, I'm over here. Like, so people were running by me and not seeing me and just, like, continuing to run along. So I didn't really like that. I was rather like, can I just be dead? Because at this point, I'm just sitting here. Like, I'm just going to quit. Like, there's no point. Like, I'm just going to go back to the
home screen.
It
didn't even have, like, a dying meter?
It does, but, like, what's the point? Like, I'd rather just leave because no one's going to come by. Like, at all of the times it happened, not a single time was I saved.
Mm-hmm.
So I just ended up, like, I was like, all right, I'm just going to quit. Back to the home screen. Like, this isn't worth it. So I don't like it as much as the regular one. So I just went back and played some more of the regular one. I also, you know, I'm still playing WWE. I took a break from playing Battlefront because I didn't want, like, because they had new Last Jedi content coming out.
You didn't want anything spoiled for
you? And I knew that wouldn't be, like, a spoiled thing, but it's like, I don't want to see anything. I don't want to see any TV spots, any trailers. I don't even want to watch the trailers I'd already seen. I wanted to go in with as little information about these locations and things as possible. So, because I do care about spoilers. So I didn't really play any of that, but I did play some more WWE. It's really funny too, because I think it was a glitch in last year's WWE game where, like, every time, like, no matter how good I was doing at the game, I never once got to challenge for the, like, the NXT championship in the, like, Road to Glory mode or whatever. And in my very first match, I got an NXT title shot and I won it. And so it's like a really funny thing of, like,
My very first match,
because, like, this one is cool because in the last game, they put you in scenarios and you just play them out. Like this one, you're in there and you're backstage and you're talking to like the booker, and they give you the option to choose from three different scenarios. So like the very first scenario I chose, I could go out there and like announce myself to the world with a promo, or I could go do this. And this time I was like, no, I'm going to go run in and attack the champion. Like that seems to be the best possible thing.
This is the kind of thing where you're like, when you create your character, were you like big in Japan?
Yeah, in my own mind,
you're the biggest guy in Japan. Obviously, you're such a big shot that you can come right in and instantly challenge the champ.
Yeah, it was huge in the indies. internet wrestling community loves my creative guy. I ran out of the, like, and attacked the champion before a match. And so, obviously, he had issues with me and was willing to put his title on the line after, like, a couple weeks of, like, back and forth attacks and things like that. At the very first, like, takeover, I got to challenge for the title and I won it. So I was like, all right, sweet. I'm already off to a better start than the last game, which took me a year of playing this and never once got a title match. So I was really excited about that. What I was not excited about, and I think we forgot to talk about it last week on the show, but you and I talked about it, was originally I'd been very excited about the Nintendo Switch version of WWE 2K18 coming out, because I was like, oh, sweet. I'll be able to play this portably. I'll be able to, like, you know, sit back on the couch while watching wrestling and like playing the game or whatever. Like, this will be fun. This will be really exciting to play. And then that game came out. It got like stealth released on a Monday. They're like, it's coming out on Wednesday. And on Wednesday, it sucked. it's very bad. For those of you who have not seen videos, it is like bad. It is unreleasable, like unpurchasably bad. I don't know why they just put it like they put it out. Like,
don't release it at that point.
Yeah, like I know you have to do it, because eventually if you release it in like February, then that puts you behind the eight ball for releasing another one the following year. But boy howdy, like textures are bad. Everything is just like a pain in the ass.
Incredible lag.
Yeah, like if there's more than two people on the screen, so if you're doing like a triple threat or a fatal four-way, like the game slows down to unplayable levels. Anytime there's like a ladder involved or anything like that, it's unplayable. So that was a real bummer, because I wanted to have that game, and now there's no point.
I mean, it might still get patched.
Yeah, and I hope that it does, but...
You know, maybe in a month's time they'll be like, hey, it's not terrible anymore.
Yeah. And plus, like, I just want it to be good, because I want future wrestling and sports games to come out on the Switch, and they're going to put this out and the sales are going to be bad, and they're going to be like, see, nobody's buying our Switch games. We're not going to put them out. Like, you know, nobody bought NBA, nobody bought WWE, so 2K is just not going to put their games on the Switch. It's like, no, but you put out one 2 months after, and then you put the other one out 2 months after, and it was unplayable. Like, this isn't the consumer's fault. This is your fault. Don't make bad games. Like, make better games, and we'll buy them.
Yeah.
Just by virtue of the fact that they're available and they're good. So that was a bummer. But those are the only video games I played, and I know we don't talk about them much, but I did play a board game of sorts on Wednesday. Went over to a friend's house, just getting in the mood for Star Wars, and we played a couple rounds of Star Wars Family Feud, which was... both really stupid, but also a lot of fun, because like how stupid it was.
I'm trying to remember how Family Feud is played.
So Family Feud, the game show.
Oh, that's the one where you have
survey
to,
says.
Yeah. Yes. You know, we asked 100 people.
Yes.
Name, you know, something that something something.
Yeah, exactly. So this was all Star Wars themed. Some of the questions were really good, like, you know, name eight characters from the prequels. And so, you know, based on the survey answers, you get certain points for if it's the number one answer where the most people said it, and so on and so forth. But then some of them were like really generic, where it's like, name a character who you think would lose all their money gambling at the casino. And you're like, I guess this guy seems like a bad gambler or something. Like, I guess like,
we don't know about Plo Koon's vices.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to think of some of the other questions, and like some of the questions were good, but the answers were stupid. Like there was one, it was like, you know, what's Yoda's favorite kind of like food or whatever? And you're like,
shortbread.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like protein bar, like a And like some of the answers
swamp
were so
sludge.
Yeah, and like some of the answers were so stupid because there was a couple food based ones, and the food was like the answers were like space food and like
blue meat. Milk.
Yeah, well, like blue milk is one that you would guess because you've seen it in the thing. Like you don't see people eating that many times in Star Wars.
Mars bar. Yeah, Bella's in space.
No, they don't have Mars in that galaxy. Ah, idiot. Damn it. Yeah, it's not like it's not quippy like that. It's not like a play on words kind of thing. But it was like space food, meat, plants. It's like okay, I guess. But we had a bunch of fun. We were just like everybody took turns being the host, and then we were asking the questions and playing because like the games themselves don't take very long. But that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. So and I picked it up for like $8, which was fun. So I really enjoyed that.
So this is a board game though, you said, right?
Kind of. Like it's not like there's not like a board per se, but it's like it's a party game. So like, you know, you're supposed to play it with teams. There was only four of us playing and one person has to be the host. So rather than having a 2-on-1 thing, we just like
all three for
yeah,
one.
We just modified the rules to where they were like we had tiebreakers and whoever like buzzed in first and stuff. So you know, we changed it up a little bit and modified the rules a tad, but yeah, it was a good amount of fun and it got us all hyped for Star Wars. So that was pretty good. But
nerd.
I feel, yeah, I know, right? Not only am I a nerd and I love Star Wars, I'll play Family Feud if it's Star Wars written on it. But yeah, no, it's just a fun party game. But that was all that I played this week. So we'll jump right into our news, which all this week is just lightning round, not lightning round, since there was no big stories after PSX and the Game Awards. Like it's just going to be little, you know, news and notes things until at least the beginning of next year when games start to roll out and people start getting hyped for the 2018 releases and things like that. So we'll jump right into it, lightning round, with some big news about the Nintendo Switch because it's selling like hotcakes or
which
like
is not surprising.
No, not at all. Well, it is and it isn't because like it's not surprising because it turns out it is a fantastic little console and it does everything well that we wanted it to. I think we're now like we're just a year out from when we had our like what is technically the second episode of the Broken Clocks Games Cast where we like went over that
the post-release
the post-announcement pre-release press conference thing. We're about a year out from when that was and we had a lot of questions and it turns out the console did really well, but also they're coming off a major failure in the Wii U that just floundered for 5 years. So it is surprising that people went back to Nintendo consoles, but it's not that surprising because it's great.
Yeah.
But it's selling really well.
Yeah, it's sold 10 million units so far in 9 months, which is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah.
And considering, like you said, the Wii U was a flop and only sold 13 million copies over its entire lifespan.
Yeah, which was, 2012 to 2017?
Yeah, like you said, 5 years.
Somewhere in that. Yeah, 4 to 5 years, give or take. I don't remember the month-to-month thing, but
it took them 3 years to reach 10 million.
Yeah.
So they've done in 9 months what it took their previous console 3 years to do.
Yeah. If it sells well continuing through the holidays, which I still see Switches in stores, so like they're much easier to find than we were all anticipating, but you know it could eclipse Wii U by the end of this year, if not within the first year of its life cycle, which is, the beginning of March?
Mm-hmm.
So...
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
What did the Wii sell? I think the Wii sold like 100 million copies.
In total. Yeah, it sold crazy numbers because it just sold consistently well for its entire life cycle. But I think these numbers are outpacing the Wii U at the same time.
Yes.
But that's mostly due to the fact that you could not find a Wii. Like they weren't
there's
making
actual
them.
Stock for
these. They weren't making them.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit better.
Which is impressive because you would think this one would be harder to manufacture than the Wii.
Yeah, I don't know if the Wii was harder to manufacture or if they just wanted to increase
the artificial inflation of
sales. But more people wanted to buy it. Like the Switch is more gamers want it and like, you know, the normal like kids and people who have 3DSs and stuff. Like those people want it, but like the Wii, all those people wanted it.
To everybody.
Yeah, plus grandmas and nursing homes and like your parents and like everybody wanted to
The schools I worked at, there was every classroom had a Wii hooked up in it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, learning still is fundamental. That's crazy to me. I mean,
there's also some classrooms that have like PS2s still sitting in them.
I can't believe there are classrooms that have video game consoles at all.
At the school I work at, It's not a very good school. Oh, so it's like, more it's more meant to just keep the kids entertained. Yeah.
It's daycare.
It's just daycare for teenagers.
Fair enough. But yeah, I'm like, I'm glad that it's selling well, because that means more likely that we're going to get continued support from not just Nintendo, who, you know, they supported the Wii U for a good amount of it, but at this, but also trailed off. And I mean, we're not going to have years where we're getting a Zelda and a Mario again. Like, this was an anomaly. But still, I mean, it, if it gives third parties the information that, like, look, people are buying it, make good games and people will buy your games, like I was saying with WWE, then all the better for it. Lightning round. We'll stick with Nintendo stuff. We've got another Pokemon re-release on 3DS. Joe, what is it?
Yeah, Pokemon Crystal. A couple months ago, Pokemon Silver and Gold got released on the Virtual Console for the 3DS.
Yep.
And now they're going to follow up with Pokemon Crystal. I think these are the last two that came out on the original Game Boy. So it'll be interesting to see if they're going to bother going ahead with the Game Boy Advance games.
Yeah.
So we'll see if we get like a Fire Red, Leaf Green release, or Ruby and Sapphire, which I'm hoping they just go all out and put all of the classic ones on there, just because I'm a big Pokemon fan and it would be nice to have them all like nice and organized on my 3DS.
Yeah. Well, big Pokemon fan, Joe, are you ready for this week's quiz?
Sure.
What's your favorite Gen 3 Pokemon? Did you forget that I was going to ask you this?
Yeah, I didn't think you would do this again.
I wasn't.
I think this one. I think this one was the one that I was.
You said a Gen 2 Pokemon, and we all laughed at you.
Oh, was it? Did you ask me what was Gen 4 before?
No, it was Gen. It was Gen 3. Whatever one is coming out to Pokemon Go, which I assume is Gen 3. You told me a Gen 2.
This is Gen 2.
What is?
Oh no! No, remember last week? Crystal was Gen 2.
So last week,
we
talked about Gen 3 coming to Pokemon Go, and Joe said his favorite Gen 3 Pokemon was a Gen 2 Pokemon, and I scoffed at him for being a fake fan. So I said, Joe, next week, come back and tell me what your favorite Gen 3 is.
Hey, I was organizing my Pokemon cards this morning.
Were any of them Gen 3 Pokemon?
I was going through the Sun and Moon card sets.
Oh, okay.
Although they do have some Gen 3 stuff in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't have a favorite Gen 3 Pokemon then?
I would have to look. And,
which like, I told you to do over the week, and you didn't. I'm going to ask you every week until you come up with one.
There's 900 Pokemon now. It's hard to keep track of which ones came out in which game.
Well, it turns out you're not a real fan, I guess. Moving on, lightning round.
Fuck.
Still sticking with Pokemon, though, Joe. Who's your favorite detective-based Pokemon?
I think there is actually one of them that is... There's one called Gumshoes that came out in the new one.
Okay, there you go. Is he your favorite, or is it Detective Pikachu?
I guess it's Detective Pikachu.
It better be, because that's what the story's about. It's not about Gumshoes. They are making a live-action Detective Pikachu movie, which I think we've talked about, but they've cast the voice lead, and it's Ryan Reynolds. How do you feel about that?
If you watch the trailer for the Japanese version of the game, he sounds like a gruff old detective.
Yeah, like a noir detective kind of,
So I can't really picture Ryan Reynolds. Maybe if Ryan Reynolds does a really good gruff old detective voice, but if it's just Ryan Reynolds talking, if it's just Deadpool.
No, I feel like he's going to have to put a spin on it.
He better.
I mean, I don't know what kind of movie they're going for. I don't know how tough and grizzled and whatever they want for this very obvious kids movie, but
I don't know. I'm still surprised that we're getting a live-action Pikachu, or like a live-action Pokemon movie, and it's not an actual Pokemon movie.
Well, I feel like if it was an actual Pokemon movie, it would look weird, and it would be like Dragon Ball Evolution.
Oh, no, it would be god-awful. Yeah. It would be absolutely terrible.
This at least is like... So this movie seems to be like it's a... like the Smurfs or Alvin and the Chipmunks, where it's like a CG character living in the real world, and everyone just is totally okay with it.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be the kind of thing where, like... Maybe the kid is trying to keep Detective Pikachu hidden so people aren't going, what the fuck is with that giant yellow rat with a Sherlock Holmes hat?
Oh, like a E.T. style?
Yeah. I don't know if they're going with that or if it is taking place entirely in a world where like Pokemon are normal and it's nothing normal to see that going around.
I don't know. We'll have to see. But Ryan Reynolds going to be voiced. I do hope that he has like an accent or a... inflection on his voice, because if it's just, you know, quippy Ryan Reynolds, it'll be weirder than I would want.
Yeah.
I mean, I see pretty much everything, but I would probably skip this, maybe, just because it's like, I don't know.
It's something I can watch on when it comes out.
If the trailer looks funny, I'll go see it just because I see everything, but I don't know. But I'm also not a Pokemon, massive Pokemon fan with gaps in my knowledge like you are.
Shut up. Man, I can still sing the Pokemon rap from the original series.
Well, who can't? I guess people with lives. Gotcha. Moving on, lightning round. The Capcom Cup was last week at PSX. I hear it was enthralling and entertaining. I wasn't watching it. Cause,
me neither.
But I do hear the guy that won was like an underdog, and good for him. But as they always do, they announce a bunch of new stuff that is Street Fighter related at this. The first of which was a bunch of new characters for Season 3 or whatever of Street Fighter 5. And it was characters that I was like surprised weren't in the game. Like Blanka was one of the people announced.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and I couldn't believe that Blanka wasn't already in Street Fighter 5. But turns out he was not. But he will be starting soon. I don't have in front of me the other ones and I don't remember. But the big news item from that was they announced a Street Fighter 30th Anniversary Collection. Joe, do you have the list of games in that Street Fighter Anniversary Collection?
No.
Okay, I will pull that up. I thought you did. I thought that was one of the ones that you
also that was had. One of the ones that you brought in.
Sure did. But normally everyone that I come up with, you also come up with. So let's see right here. It is a ton of games. It is, yeah, the Street Fighter Anniversary Collection. In Europe, it's known as Street Fighter Dream Collection, Special Edition. It's a bundle. Nope, that's not right. That's a different one. All right, so it's a bunch of games, including some of them with online play. It gathers 12 of the most iconic games in the franchise. You will be able to play Street Fighter, the original Street Fighter, Street Fighter 2, Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter 2, The New Challengers, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Super Street Fighter 2, the two of continuing Street Fighters. No, that's it. That was all the Street Fighter 2s. There's so many of them. And we've talked about that, and I think it's ridiculous. Then there's Street Fighter Alpha, Street Fighter Alpha 2, Street Fighter Alpha 3, Street Fighter 3, Street Fighter 3 Second Impact, and Street Fighter 3 Third Strike.
That's a whole lot of fucking Street Fighters.
So many Street Fighters. But four of those games will have online capabilities. Street Fighter 2 Hyper Fighting, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, which everyone routinely says is like the best version of Street Fighter, Street Fighter Alpha 3, and Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. So you can play all of those online. You can talk all your trash and play all of your combos and Hadoukens and whatnots starting next year.
And I have the list of the new characters for Street Fighter V.
Perfect.
So you were right, Blanka.
Yep.
Also Sagat, who I'm surprised wasn't in that.
Yep.
Sakura is another character I'm surprised hasn't been in it just yet.
Yep.
Falk, I have no idea who she is.
No idea.
Another guy called just G, I have no idea who he is.
Nope.
And Cody, who was in... I think it was Final Fight was the games that he was from originally.
No idea.
Yeah, he was the guy that was the prisoner. He had, like, fought, but he had like chains on, mm-hmm. Handcuffs on. But I remember seeing something on that because now he's no longer wearing his prison outfit and he is the mayor of the city that he was in.
Oh, cool. So the mayor's getting in on the throwdown.
Yep.
But yeah, this comes out on PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch in May of 2018. And all of those games will cost $40
as a bundle. That's a pretty good
deal. It's a really good deal.
I was going to say, if it was a $60 bundle, I don't think it would be worth it.
Well, especially because you're probably only, as not a massive Street Fighter fan, though I was talking to a friend of mine that is a massive Street Fighter fan, you're probably only going to play half of those games.
Yeah.
You'll play Street Fighter 1.
And odds are you probably already have them individually somehow.
On some virtual console or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Street Fighter 2, obviously people were really excited about Third Strike and Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, which are the two best versions of Street Fighter that everybody plays. And the fact that those will have online is also good. So you'll see a renewed sense of that, community springing back up in the beginning of next year. Hmm. So pretty good. Street Fighter fans seem happy, so that's good. Speaking of fighting games, Joe, lightning round, we've got new fighters for Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yep.
Who are they? I'm going to say, how many people got announced?
Three new characters.
I'm going to say I have heard of two of them. I don't know who they are.
Okay. Well, we'll find out.
Yes. All right.
First one is Beerus.
Is he a fat guy?
No.
Damn. I've heard of the name though. He's skinny and got a snake head thing? Right?
Close.
Oh no, he's the cheetah. right?
No.
Or like the
he's
cat?
He's a cat.
He's a cat.
He's he's a purple cat.
Yep.
He looks like an Egyptian cat.
Yeah, I am aware
A hairless Egyptian cat.
Got it.
I mean, yes, he is the god of destruction of Universe 7.
Okay.
Which means he is the most powerful being of that universe.
Okay.
Technically, he is the second most powerful being of that universe.
You just can contradict yourself.
Well, the other person is not from that universe. He's his vassal, I think is the term, mm-hmm. like his assistant who came from the center universe to basically watch over him.
Oh, sorry, what?
the next character is Hit.
No idea.
No idea who Hit is. Hit is an assassin from Universe 6 who utilizes time-stopping powers to eliminate people.
I mean, that seems like if you just stop time, you just walk over and like stab him in the throat. Like, that's game over. Like, how are you not going?
Yeah, he's the undefeated assassin who kills everyone in his way. Right, he doesn't slit their throat or anything. He just punches them really hard because he's incredibly strong.
Okay.
And the other one is Goku Black.
I've heard of Goku, and I don't know what the difference is here. Is he wearing a black outfit?
He is wearing a black suit.
Sweet.
He is.
I'm gonna count that.
He is a future version of Goku, in which a from another universe. Once again, because this all the new stuff in Dragon Ball Super is all about different universes.
Yeah.
He is the god of another universe who came to this universe, Goku's universe, and used the Dragon Balls to switch their bodies. So he took over Goku's body, and Goku took over his body, and then he killed Goku in his own body and proceeded to take over and kill all of the humans because he just wanted, in the future, just wanted to eliminate all humans in the future. Because
Goku would be way more powerful than him, probably.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Goku outshines everybody.
Yeah.
Because he's Goku.
There you go. I knew of two of them. I'm going to count it because I know who Goku is.
You know the name Goku.
Yeah. So I know who Goku is, and therefore if he's in his body, then technically I'm right.
True.
Got it. Are you excited about playing as these characters in FighterZ?
Well, they already announced some of the Dragon Ball Super stuff in it. They announced that the Super Saiyan Blue versions of Goku and Vegeta were in the game, which are from Dragon Ball Super. Technically, from the last two Dragon Ball Z movies, but that got rolled over into Dragon Ball Super.
Yeah.
So I was hoping that we would see more Dragon Ball Super stuff in this game. I'm very excited for Hit. I always thought he was one of the cooler characters in the game or in the show, and I'd be interested to see how exactly he fights. I don't believe they put out the trailers of because every time like new characters get announced, there's a trailer showing them fighting.
Yep.
These ones they were just leaked from a magazine.
Oh, okay.
So we haven't gotten the trailers for him yet. So I can't wait to see what he looks like in motion.
Now, as not a Dragon Ball fan, as clearly established, does it bother you or will it bother you that there are so many versions of the same character? Like, will the fighting styles be different enough between Goku and Kid Goku and Adult Goku and Super Saiyan and Blue and God and all the other like adjectives you want to add to? Like, people get mad that Fox and Falco are very similar in Smash Brothers. Like, is that going to be a thing that's going to bother you, or are there different enough fighting styles with these guys where it won't matter?
Well, Goku Black has a completely different fighting style
because he's technically a different guy.
Yeah,
he utilizes
like completely different attacks. Yeah. He utilizes an energy blade that he makes out of his hand to fight with. As for like the difference between regular Goku and Goku Blue. They definitely seem like it's because this one's taking place across different timelines.
Yeah.
It definitely looks like they were keeping track of the different fighting styles because their fighting did change.
Yeah.
You know, in between the different ones. So like Goku Blue has a completely different fighting style than say, you know, regular Goku.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're going to be completely varied enough. I would have actually have liked it if they had done something like in some of the older games where like you pick Goku and then you can go Super Saiyan and then go Super Saiyan God and then go Super Saiyan Blue.
Yeah.
You know, by building up enough energy throughout the fight. I hate it when they're separate characters.
Yeah.
I was never really a big fan of that.
Yeah, that does seem weird. Like, because that kind of spits in the face of what I understand Dragon Ball to be, is that like if you get powerful enough in the course of a fight, you can just get more powerful and become like a better version.
Yeah, that's really what it is.
Yeah.
They grow more powerful as they fight is kind of the thing.
Like the Hulk.
Yeah.
Like the angrier he gets, the stronger he gets.
Yeah, yeah.
So it'd be weird if it's like puny Hulk versus super angry Hulk and they'd be two different characters.
Yeah. So, I mean, I wish they did it more like that, but either way, I'm still really excited for this game.
Is this beginning of 2018 or end, or do we have release information?
I think it's February.
February. Oh, so that's coming real soon then.
Yeah.
Nice. Lightning.
I got to make sure to pre-order it from Best Buy because Tyler texted me and let me know that they have a pop figure, an exclusive pop figure from pre-ordering the game.
Yeah, got to do it. Lightning round. We have gotten sales figures. We don't talk about sales figures a lot here, but we're getting sales figures for the end of the year. And the biggest and bestest selling game of the year is
Call of Duty World War II.
There you go.
Yeah. Ninth year in a row, Call of Duty.
That boggles my mind that 9 years in a row, Call of Duty has been the best-selling game.
It is pretty crazy, isn't
especially because like last year's was really bad. And people liked Battlefield 1 more, but yet somehow it still sold more copies.
It's just that it's that name recognition, man.
I guess.
You just slap Call of Duty on anything and it'll sell.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's
nice. I mean, I'm not surprised that World War II sold well.
No, it was really good.
You're right. I was when I saw that figure, I went like, really? Infinite Warfare? Was the best-selling game of the year?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Especially because everyone said in the like in the historic war of first-person shooters, Battlefield was a better game in Battlefield 1 than whatever it was last year. But yet somehow Call of Duty sold more.
Yeah. I don't know. I was going to say maybe people weren't too thrilled with the World War I setting, but people definitely weren't thrilled about the future setting in Infinite Warfare. So,
and I think enough people were excited about like, hey, this is something we haven't seen before. Let's give this a go.
Yeah.
Then they were like, oh, we're doing this future bullshit again. Fuck this. I'm not surprised that, like you said, that World War II did well because this is where you go get the people who stopped playing Call of Duty years ago when it got too futuristic and weird and they like the World War II setting. The game itself was good. Are you still playing it?
World War II?
Yeah. Here and there?
No, I put it on the back. I really do want to get back to it.
Yeah.
I did really like it, but it's the kind of thing where so much stuff has been coming out. It's like so rapid fire that it's hard to keep track of anything.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good game and it looks amazing and all this stuff. So it doesn't surprise me that it sold well. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, the 9 years running was probably the bigger figure. Does it say how many copies it sold?
I looked and I couldn't find the official numbers.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I mean, at the very least, it is the best selling game of the year. And that is both surprising and not surprising.
Yeah. This is according to the NPD group, which keeps track of stuff. But I didn't find the actual numbers.
I'm sure it's probably harder to pin down the numbers. And the second you read the numbers, it's going to change by 100 copies because someone will have just bought, more copies as we're even saying it. So,
yeah. And I mean, also considering like the game just came out last month, too.
Yeah.
So it probably selling a lot. And, I think I got an email from GameStop today that they have a bunch of stuff on sale. Again, I think it was being sold for like $40, so I'm sure they're going to sell a ton more copies from that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, everyone's making their last second push towards the holidays. So.
Yeah.
People will be getting it like day after Christmas when they didn't get it for Christmas with gift cards and things like that. So by the end of the year, it's going to sell even more copies. But lightning round, you know what didn't sell a lot of copies, Joe? Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
And this is not surprising in the slightest, given all of the controversy leading up after the beta with regards to the loot boxes, which I think I said last week, they have drastically changed. You get more credits now for things. It's easier to attain those characters that were like locked behind, earning credits and stuff like that. The loot box stuff is still stupid and it's a really dumb idea, but the game has gotten progressively better as the weeks have gone on, but still
this, I think the stigma is way too there.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. I've read a lot of stuff about people saying that the game has gotten significantly better since the last launch. And it's a hell of a lot more balanced and stuff. But like I said, I think the stigma is still weighing way too heavily on it, which is a shame. Like, I had my fun shitting on the game when it came out, it was an easy target.
Absolutely.
It's easy to look at all the memes and laugh at it.
It's like how we did with Mass Effect Andromeda.
Exactly. But I do feel bad that like it's not getting its fair shake at this point.
Yeah.
Because for all the people that were shitting on the business practices of it and everything that came out of it, you really should reward them for fixing it.
Yeah.
Which people didn't. I don't want to say like run out and buy this game now.
No.
But like they've changed stuff. So if you were interested in it before, you should go buy it to encourage them to
continue fixing it. Yeah, but then there's that stance that people were taking of like, they did this on purpose, they made it wildly bad, so that way they could be like, look, we fixed it, and then like trick everybody into buying it again. It's like, all right, I get what you're saying, but at the same time, if they had just made a good game from the start, don't you think that would have sold more than the trickery? Like, I don't think they thought they were, like, I think they thought they were going to get away with it, and then were surprised that they didn't and had a fallback plan.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this was the plan from the get-go. Like, I had a friend who texted me the other week and was like, hey, it's on sale for $40. Like, should I get it? I was like, for $40, absolutely. Like, you'll have fun with the campaign. It's kind of short, but it's fun. Like, it's a good story. And the multiplayer is multiplayer. Like, it, you know, how good you are at the game will vary depending on like what attribute cards you get in the loot boxes, but it will also depend on how good you are at first person shooters. So, yeah, pick it up for, you know, for $40. Like, if you find this game on sale, it's definitely worth paying less than $60 for it. Like, you know, I paid less than 60 with like discounts and stuff, and I don't feel burned by it. I really like the game. It's not perfect by any stretch, but it's fun. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. I think if it gets a bigger overhaul, especially if they get rid of loot boxes or make them cosmetic, or if any more big changes come, it would take a website's being like, here's our updated review. Something major happened. We're reevaluating it. It's now a better score. Even if it's just like, we gave it a 7 and now it's a 7.5, or we gave it a 6 and now it's a 7.5, or whatever. Like, it's not going to go from a 7 to a 10. Like,
yeah, it could definitely use a second look, like review, second reviews.
Yeah. And so I'm wondering if, like, maybe during slow times after like Christmas, some websites will be like, you know what, guys, we need articles. Somebody revisit Battlefront and see what it's like. And maybe we publish a second look-see at this game to give it, you know, just to get people to click and things like that. So I think it would take that for people to buy more copies of it, but surprising. It only sold like what?
882,000 copies. Yeah. So for like anything Star Wars to not sell a million copies off the bat.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. And like, obviously not everybody that goes to see the game or goes to see the movie are gamers, but like Last Jedi made $45 million on Thursday, like in previews. So, I mean, that's a lot of people going to see a Star Wars thing. And this is 800,000 people are being the only ones who are willing. Now, does that include digital sales or is that just physical?
It does not say.
Okay. Typically those NPD numbers are just physical.
It says they moved that many units. So does that mean physical?
That means physical. Yeah. So there's going to be, it probably did a million, we'll say. Like, I'm probably a little over a million, probably no more than 1.5 million. I don't think it's fair to double the number of physical to get digital, but somewhere between 800,000 and 1.5 million, like, people bought the game.
Oh, actually, funny enough, in this article about the Star Wars, it has the sales numbers for Call of Duty World War II.
Look at that.
Which sold 4.4 million copies.
Okay. So, yeah. So somewhere probably between 800,000 and 1.5 million people, you know, copies of the game between physical and digital, which is, again, not a lot, even though it's only been out for, what, a month?
Yeah, November 12th it came out?
Yeah, it was the middle of November. So it's been out a month. Those numbers will uptick a little bit with people going to see the Star Wars movie, although not because it's polarizing. So who knows? But like, you know, people will be like, oh, you know what? I wasn't in a Star Wars mood. Now I am. I want to play the game. Like our own Tyler said, even leading up to The Last Jedi, he's like, I wasn't in a Star Wars mood until the day he was going to see it and then got Star Wars-y. He's not going to buy the game. I'm not saying he's going to, because I just think he's so down on the like bullshit of it. But there are going to be people who are like, oh my God, I love that movie. I'm in Star Wars mode. Let me play a Star Wars game. Mm. So those numbers will go up, but it is still disappointing because the game's not that bad. It's not, you know, on a worst games of the year kind of list, but, you know, definitely has its issues. So lightning round. Joe, are you excited for Red Dead Redemption 2?
I am incredibly excited for Red Dead Redemption 2.
Do you wish you could have Red Dead Redemption 2 right now?
Yes.
Do you wish you could have even just a little piece of it? Just something else.
Just the tiniest sliver would tide me over. Just a little,
like, hold you over until that game comes out. Well, you're in luck if you are a person that plays Grand Theft Auto Online.
I am a person that plays that. I haven't played in a while, but I did play it, and I still have my copy.
Yeah. Well, now they have a heist mission?
Yes.
That lets you get stuff from Red Dead Redemption 2. Joe, tell us about it.
And Grand Theft Auto Online. Yep. They just recently put out a new major DLC for the game. I think probably the bigger DLCs that they put out for it.
Yeah, I heard this was like a huge, massive update and the first one in a while.
Yeah. Fuck, what was it? What was the name of that DLC thing? It was called like Doomsday Heist, I think it was called.
Yeah, something like
that. Which added a whole bunch of new stuff to the game. One of the things was a mission that people found in which you have to track down and find a treasure chest with the branding of Bulls Overland Stagecoach Company.
Okay.
Which, you know, you don't run across a lot of chest with stagecoach brandings on it in modern day Los Santos.
Yeah. I mean, the train industry is booming in Los Santos. I know that. There's a lot of people using it, but still older branding. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
But the Bulls Overland Stagecoach Company was a company that was in the Red Dead games.
Yep.
And if you find the chest, you find a gold double-action revolver, and once you find that, you get to a special challenge for getting a certain amount of headshots using the gun. You said, this is something I wasn't aware of, apparently if you find it in the game, in Grand Theft Auto, you will unlock that gun in Red Dead when it comes out.
There's like a way to do it. Let's see. What's the name of the gun?
It's the gold double-action revolver. Yeah, I was not aware of this. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I feel like they've done something like that in the past.
Yeah, let's see. Yeah, Rockstar announces the double action revolver for GTA Online and Red Dead Redemption 2. Let's see. Oh, how to get the double action revolver in GTA Online and Red Dead Redemption 2.
Okay, cool.
That's a
nice little touch.
Yeah. So you get it in GTA Online. There's a bunch of clues and stuff. And then once you have it, you can use it to get 50 headshots for a cool reward. And you'll also get an exclusive variation of the revolver to use in Red Dead 2 whenever it comes out.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah. So there you go. I'm wondering if, because I assume you have to log into some kind of Rockstar account thing.
Yes,
when you're
there
playing.
Is a Rockstar account.
So you probably link your Rockstar account when you buy Red Dead 2 and it says hey, congratulations on finding that thing in the future. Here it is in the past.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm assuming that they're going to borrow a lot of, for the Red Dead Online, they're going to borrow a lot of stuff out of the Grand Theft Auto Online.
Absolutely.
So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of kind of crossover between the two. Yeah. Something about carrying, certain stats or something over from, your Grand Theft Auto account over to your Red Dead account.
Yeah, maybe.
It'd be interesting to see if they did some sort of thing where in Red Dead, to unlock the gun, you had to do some sort of mission where you find a modern day briefcase or something.
Yeah.
as opposed to finding the chest.
Gun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, given how much they've laid into Grand Theft Auto Online, do you think we're only going to get Red Dead Online and it continues onward and we get no single player DLC? Or do you think Red Dead is a big enough story thing to where they would want to put out single player DLC? I mean, we don't know how the game is going to go or end or anything like that, but
I'm sure they're making so much money off of Grand Theft Auto Online.
Yeah.
That there's no way they're not just going to keep doing that.
Yeah. And I know they said, and we talked about this, that the three pronged story approach of GTA 5 meant that it was impossible to do it. To which we of course said that's bullshit.
Yes.
But I don't know. I'm in the same camper. I think it is going to be like that, where it's just going to be Red Dead Online and there's going to be no single player DLC after the game's release, which is kind of disappointing. I like single player DLC stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the Red Dead DLC was weird though, because that's where the DLC for that one was the Undead Nightmare.
That's true.
The zombie stuff.
There wasn't regular DLC too? It was just Undead Nightmare?
I think Undead Nightmare was the only DLC that came out for Red Dead.
Hmm.
Grand Theft Auto 4 got three or two major deals.
Battle Gate, Tony, and Lost in the Damned.
Yeah. And then, Undead Nightmare was the only one that came out for Red Dead.
Huh,
I'm sure there were small little updates
yeah.
But nothing a full-blown story one like you got in those other two.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I'm sure it's going to be just more of the GTA Online. I need to go back and play some more of that again, because the GTA Online stuff at least was still really good.
Yeah.
And you got huge, huge updates out of that.
Yeah, I mean, they're still constantly adding things to it, so we'll see. Lightning round. Speaking of online things adding cool stuff, Joe, as a player of Ghost Recon Wildlands, did you get a chance to play against the Predator?
No, I did not.
You forgot about it, didn't you?
Yeah, I remember seeing that get announced. So in
Ghost Recon Wildlands,
they added the Predator as a boss fight in the game.
So there's a section of the map where you can go and you find a scared child who talks about a ghost who's killing people. And then you walk further in and you see all kinds of, skinned skeletons and creepy weird shit, and ultimately come across the Predator from the movie Predator.
From Aliens?
No, from Predator.
Oh.
No, there's arch nemesis to Aliens, Predator.
Predator 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the Predators.
Yeah.
Predator reboot. They're making another Predator too.
Are they making another Predator?
Yeah, and
I'm not surprised. But
yeah, they're making another Predator, and I think Jake Busey is in it as the son of Gary Busey's character.
Oh, you
from
know
Predator.
What? I did remember seeing all that stuff. Yeah. I remember, Peele from Key and Peele is one of the guys.
Oh, maybe.
In it. And I remember just being like, this feels like when Adrian Brody was the badass, and you're kind of like,
yeah, Adrian
Brody. I can't picture Peele as the badass soldier.
Yeah. I don't want the pianist fighting the predator. That doesn't make any sense.
And fucking Topher Grace.
Was he in that one too?
Yeah. He was in that one also.
I didn't see that one. Yeah. I think Shane Black is making this one. So the guy who did, he wrote Lethal Weapon and directed Iron Man 3, is making a new Predator. But yeah, Predator is in Ghost Recon Wildlands. And it looks like a cool idea. I was hoping that you had got to play it. But you'll have to play it.
I completely forgot about it. I was too caught up in playing PUBG.
Yep.
And still, I'm still playing Rainbow Six also. But yeah, that's definitely something I at least want to go back and give it a try. There's a lot of like that stuff happening now of like the crossovers from like various movies getting added to games.
Well, I mean, the Friday the 13th game in and of itself, I think, kind of made it so that way people are willing to play an okay thing with a licensed character. So let's add licensed characters to all of our games.
Well, I mean, even before that, like the Mortal Kombat games got like Freddy and Jason.
Yeah.
And that Dead by Daylight game got like Leatherface and Freddy in it also.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where if you can take a menacing bad guy from pop culture that you don't have to establish, slap him in the game. Why not?
Yeah.
People get excited. I mean, this is going to get you to go back to Ghost Recon Wildlands after a while.
Yeah.
I mean, most likely anyway.
I never finished that. I got to go back and finish that. Yeah. I got to add that to my list of things to go back and try and finish before the end of the year.
Yeah. So, yeah, I saw like some pictures and stuff from it. It looks pretty cool. I mean, I'd definitely be intrigued if I had the game.
It lends itself well to that game in particular.
Yeah, because it takes place entirely in the jungle. So,
yeah.
Just remember, look in the trees.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the trees.
I wonder if you can jump in mud and then he can't chase track you.
No, maybe. Who knows? I mean, I feel like that would be an extra.
Too much extra to add to it, yeah.
Because like they are just kind of slapping it in a region of that map. But yeah, I don't know. Worth checking out if you are a fan of either Predator or Ghost Recon Wildlands. Lightning round. We've got lawsuits, Joe. We love lawsuits on this show. We're always talking about lawsuits. Everyone's getting sued. People getting sued left and right. Who's getting sued this time?
The creators of Star Citizen, that game that has like $180 billion in crowdfunding to it.
Those bastards.
Yeah.
They're at it again.
Yeah. Cloud Imperium Games is getting sued by the creators of the Cry Engine, Crytek.
Yep.
It's a kind of a little bit of a weird, like, I mean, I guess I get it, but it's a weird lawsuit in any way, shape, or form.
Run it down.
The Star Citizen game has kind of broken off into two separate games in its design. There is, of course, the big open, you know, space, fly around your spaceships, all that kind of stuff game that it was initially. But they've also spun it off into a first-person shooter game as well called Squadron 42.
Yep.
I remember they showed off some footage of it a couple weeks ago. But they only bought the licensing to make one game off of CryEngine. So now that they've split the game off of two, CryEngine is suing them for, or Crytek is suing them for breach of contract because they basically only bought the rights to make one game using their engine, and now they've turned around and cranked out a second one.
Yep.
So they're saying, hey, you owe us for the, you know, engine that went into that. And now they're like basically suing them for a total injunction, which means they're suing them for like the entire cost of the game.
Yeah.
So all of that money that was raised might go to them.
Man, what a shift in power that would be. If it's
I mean, how long have they been working on this game? And like all of a sudden.
Yeah, gone. And, all of it.
And, you know, Adam, you were talking about, it seems like it would have just been very easy for them to turn around with all of the money that they've raised and say, okay, we're just going to buy a second license.
Yeah. And like, and we'll pay a little extra as like damages.
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, that'll probably end up being what the settlement is in this lawsuit. Cause like, this isn't going to go to full trial or anything like that. They're probably going to be like, listen, we're willing to accept you buying another license. Hell, buy two licenses just in case it splinters again.
Yeah.
And then from that, pay us a little bit of damages because we had to do this, like pay legal fees or whatever, and we'll let you have it.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably what's going to end up happening. But
yeah,
it is silly that you would try to get a, like, I know that seems like they're just trying to, you know, saddlebag as much money as possible here, but at a certain point, just be like, oh shit, we're kind of splintering off into two games here. We should make sure we have a license for it. Let's just go give them a bunch of money and get a license for it.
So the way I'm going to put my little conspiratorial spin on it, one of the things I'm thinking might be happening here is either A, There's actually two options I'm thinking. Either A, this is some sort of like hostile takeover from Crytek,
where they want to own the game.
They're trying to like completely take the game and be like, "Oh, we're going to sue you for everything, or just give us the rights to it." And it's going to be our game now.
That'd be a ballsy move.
Yeah, that would be very ballsy of them. B, this is. I mean, everyone's been saying like this game is never coming out.
Yeah.
And maybe this is some sort of like underhanded thing to take the money and run.
But they wouldn't get to keep the money because it would all go to Crytek.
Well, I'm like wondering if this is some sort of scam that they've cooked up with Crytek.
Well, I don't think they would have. No, but they could have done this in the hopes that they got caught. So that way we can be like, well, I guess we can't put the game out now. All the money's ours.
Yeah. It's something like that. Either like they teamed up with Crytek in order to try and kill the game in some sort of like the producer style, like we fucked it up and we're just going to take all the money and run kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or, you know, maybe they just kind of planned it this way. I don't know. I mean, it would be a pretty long shot for them to be like, well, let's just make two games and then hope that they just sue us for it. And
yeah.
You know, I don't know, but I'm, you know, for the longest time, everyone's been saying like, this has been some sort of crazy money making scam anyways, and this game's never going to come out. And maybe this was their plan to like, just cut their losses and run.
Yeah. It's their plan all along. Either way, we're in for certainly a legal Star War.
Shut the fuck up.
I knew you would hate that. That's why I did it. Lightning round. And this is our other things that gaming has permeated, even though we did talk about Detective Pikachu. We've got gaming permeating the great nostalgia reference film known as Ready Player One, which got a new trailer last week and is filled with even more gaming tidbits than before. I mean, the whole movie is just basically what if video games were way more real, which is kind of an intriguing thing. But in the new Ready Player One trailer, we've got appearances from gaming characters like Tracer from Overwatch, as well as
it was like pretty prominent in one shot. She's leading the charge of a massive battle.
Yeah, and it's very like some of the things in those trailers are like you can see the outline and they're very dark. And I'm wondering if it's what it'll look like in the movie, or if they're just doing their best to not show off every single reference.
Obfuscate.
Yeah.
Obfuscate.
Sure. But yeah. Tracer is one where all the orange and the big, you know, circular emblem or whatever on the front, and she's charging into battle. And then you said there was who else?
I saw male Shep and female Shep from the Mass Effect.
Boogieing the down original in a bar.
One. Yeah, you see when there's a scene where they're in the bar and you can see male Shep doing his, like, bad dance in the background.
There you go.
Which I admit, I was like, oh my, what a good fucking touch.
What do you think about this movie, Joe?
We talked about the this Initial is like the trailer. First trailer was the other one the was like trailer. The teaser trailer. Yeah, this is like the actual main trailer.
Yeah.
We talked about it before. I was pretty down on it initially just because I was like, I get it. Like, it's just references.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah. You references know, it, the movie.
It's, hey, thing you like.
Yeah.
And it's still exactly that. But at least with this trailer, we got like a plot line with it. We understand what's going on. I didn't read the book. I knew nothing of the book.
Yeah.
So initially I was just like, as far as I know, this is just references.
Yeah.
Now at least I know why there's references and like what's going on.
Yep.
I'm a little more interested. I'm still not like 100% sold. Like I'm seeing this day one kind of thing, but at least I was like, okay, I get what's going on. Like, it's a video, like I know it's a video game, but like they're competing in a contest in a video game.
Yeah, it's not even so much a video, it's just a virtual reality world where you can compete in a thing. Yeah, but like to an insane degree. Mm-hmm. And the guy who created it died and put a literal Easter egg, which the fact that it's an egg is like, come on.
Yeah, a little on the nose.
So stupid. And it, like, if it was just like, I've hidden a totem or something like that, and it's an Easter, and it's an egg, and it's tongue in cheek, the fact that he calls it an Easter, he's like, I've hidden Easter egg in the game. It's like, no, don't.
Or even if he called it an Easter egg, but they didn't show that it's a literal egg.
But I'm glad that I know that now, because if they had said I hid an Easter egg and then they find the literal egg in the movie, I'd have been like, no, fuck this. Fuck you. This is stupid. I hate it. That would have taken me out of it more, because I just would have been groaning in the theater like, it's a literal egg. God damn it. Like, now I know that and I can put that aside for when I go to see it, because like I said, I see everything. This did look a little bit better. I'm still weary of the pandering aspect of it, because like just seeing the DeLorean on screen isn't enough to get me jazzed about it. Like, I need there to be a reason why all these characters are there, or I need like you know, I need a fun line from somebody.
They're trying to win control of the game.
I know, but like...
Which I thought was... So, like, imagine if, like, Blizzard just said, like, first person to beat Deathwing in World of Warcraft owns World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think that's how it works.
So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I like when pop culture things clash and stuff like that. Like, I'm a big fan of Who Framed Roger Rabbit and, like, the scenes where, like,
that's a good,
Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny are interacting with each other. Like, that's really cool.
Daffy Duck and Donald Duck are having a piano, like, off.
Yeah, that's really cool. And that, like, that's a fun little tongue-in-cheek thing. But that's not the whole point of the movie.
Yes.
Those are just, like, little moments. And it seems like this is filled with so many moments. Mm. Like, I wish this trailer had less pop culture-y stuff and more of, like, characters interacting, and the fact that it isn't makes me think that it is all pop culture stuff. So I don't know. We'll see how it turns out.
All I know is at the end of the trailer, they showed the RX-78 Gundam, and I got really, really, really excited.
Yeah, that thing's totally going to fight the Iron Giant, by the way.
Oh, my God. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I might have to see it just entirely for that.
Just for
because
that.
I'm a huge anime nerd.
Yeah.
And I've been, like, waiting for a legit Gundam movie to come out for a very long time.
Nope.
Even though every time they try and make a movie out of an anime, it always ends up horrible. I just wanted to see that thing in, like, a kind of, like, a legit setting. And this is probably the closest I'm going to get.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
There you go. So yeah, that movie comes out next year. I'm sure we'll get more trailers with more references and more video games, more pop culture stuff all thrown in your face. But that's going to do it for the lightning round, not lightning round, which means that's going to do it for this episode of the Broken Clocks Podcast Games Cast. Remember, you can find the Games Cast every Monday morning at 9 a.m. on Google Play, iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher. You'll also be able to find today our Broken Clocks main event. We've got WWE Clash of Champions tonight, or yesterday, as you're listening to this, if it's Monday. And so we'll be breaking it all down beforehand and afterwards with predictions and thoughts and opinions and reactions. So that'll be up as well on all those same places. Remember, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Broken Clock Pods. So give us a like, a share, a subscribe to all of those things that show that you like what we do because we like doing it. We want you to like it too. If you don't like it, you can let us know at those places as well. We take constructive criticism. But yeah, I think that will do it then for this week. So once again, my name is Adam.
And I'm Joe.
And thanks so much for listening.
Bye.